This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
Hey, it's Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, and a slight break from the barrage of COVID-19 news that's dominated our feeds in recent weeks. We're talking about something different today. We're talking about co-working spaces on today's show, more specifically a space called Found 8 that has set up shop in KL Central. It's a Singaporean endeavor that now has a facility here in KL. And I wanted to talk to them about navigating a crowded co-working industry. You know, co-working spaces have mushroomed over the last few years, and obviously it takes a lot to be recognized in that scene. So joining me today is Ganesh Mahendranathan. He is the country manager for Found 8 in KL. And I think a good place to start would be, you know, to just tell us about Found 8 and what sets it apart in terms of being a co-working space.
Awesome, cool. Yeah, so Found 8 is a platform that enables startups, scale-ups, corporations, governments, and nonprofits to innovate and grow successfully by providing the right network, knowledge, and environment. Now, at Found 8, we're more than just table and chairs, as we specialize in corporate innovation expertise, and we also have our own venture capital arm to boot. And the spirit of entrepreneurship is really entrenched in our DNA, and our success is deeply rooted in our member success. So it's part of our value proposition to members, and this is really what differentiates us from the other co-working spaces. We actually have a very curated community. We only target innovation-centric companies as well as game changers within their respective industries. An entrepreneur just needs to focus on building his business, and we would take care of everything else. And part of the five main criteria that we provide to our members is convenience. So we're the only co-working space in KL Central Station. And you can access through various types of public transport, be it LRT, MRT, ERL, KTM, monorail, or even a bus. And on the space front, we have 24/7 office access. We have a podcast studio as well for startups that would like to record audios. Fully furnished offices, high-speed internet. We have dedicated member check-ins to support your business growth, flexible membership agreements to adjust to your business needs. As we know, sometimes companies go through tough times, they might need to scale down. We offer that flexibility, something that other spaces do not. And we also create a curated community of people like the members, you know, who are game changers and innovation-centric. We also have a dedicated member success team. And part of this process is where our community manager would conduct a member check-in. And in that check-in, we would understand more about the business, about the pain points and areas in which they might need support, be it investments, talent, or potential customers. So as part of that exercise, we would then look through our network of members and connect them with strategic partners as well as investors that may be interested in their projects.
Who's your target market specifically? Because I know it's, you know, entrepreneurs and startup CEOs, but the fact that you offer like a network of mentors and courses for them makes me think that there is a finer niche that Found 8 is tapping into. What is that niche? Like who is your target market?
So as mentioned, I mean, innovation-centric companies and game changers. So within that, a subset of that would be startups. And this consists from pre-seed startups that are still at the ideation stage up to Series A, where they're looking to scale and expand. So we cater to a wide range of startups, and startups at different stages have different needs. So typically most of our hot desk members are at the earlier stage where they're still validating their ideas and basically getting traction and getting feedback. Where else our scale-ups are at a more established state where they're looking either for further regional expansion or scaling through investments. Besides that, we also target accelerators. So accelerators, right now in our space, we have Scale Up Malaysia, as well as Lead Ventures. So for example, Lead Ventures, they host, they've done 25 cohorts supporting over 500 startups. And a small percentage of these startups have gone on to get exits. So they are basically a huge community builder, and they've been supporting the pre-seed and seed stage startups. In terms of more later stage, we have Open Learning, for example. They just IPO'd in Australia, and they're one of our anchor tenants at our space. Aside from that, we also work with corporate innovations teams. So right now I'm in conversations with multiple corporates, Sime Darby, Maxis, AirAsia, as examples.
You mentioned podcast studios just now, and you also said that you have 24/7 access, which makes me think that, you know, some of the people who you are helping out or you're giving space to might be, you know, internet celebrities, people who make a name for themselves online, because that's where the podcasting things, you know, comes in. Is that part of your clientele? Do you see a lot of them coming in as well?
So most of our clientele, I wouldn't say celebrities, but they're more subject matter experts. Uh-huh. So they might have small audiences, but it's very curated and very defined. So for example, I mean, some of the folks that have come on our podcast, they might have 2,000 to 3,000 followers, but they're highly, it's small, but it's highly engaged communities. So those are typically the folks that we target. People that are very focused on strong subject matter.
Micro-influencers.
Yeah.
Something like micro-influencers.
Yeah, something like micro-influencers.
Okay. Yeah. Because that is new. Normally, you know, you would look at startups like, you know, the traditional startups and either brick and mortar or online. Yeah. But, you know, sort of cultivating people who want to make money online or want to be influencers or want to make their money through Instagram. That's a slightly different angle, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also want to touch on revenue, because obviously your revenue comes from usage fees or fees that you charge people for using the space itself. But could you explain a bit about Foundit's revenue model? Like how does the space make money? Like, is it like a membership thing, subscription thing? Like,
so the revenue model, it doesn't really change for any of the co-working spaces. It typically consists of your membership revenue. And within membership, you either some of your members are on hot desks, dedicated desks, or private offices. We also have virtual membership, but that's a very small percentage of revenue.
What's virtual membership?
Basically, for those folks that would like to have a business address or mailing.
I see.
Basic
okay.
services. And the other portion of revenue, which is very important for cash flow, is events. Mm-hmm. So we do have a very nice event lounge and innovation workshop that drives a decent percentage of revenue. We also have ancillary revenue. By having certain vendors at our space, like a coffee operator, for example. We have Rage at Foundit. Besides that, we also get revenue from corporates through we bundle deals for the corporates, and where they get to access the community, they get to sponsor a community event, they get to interact with startups. I think corporate startup partnerships is the new thing. They're moving away from R&D because it's very expensive and you're not able to get results quickly. Mm-hmm. So working with startups allows them to, you know, get some pilot testing going on and some proof of concepts before investing. So that's primarily our revenue streams.
How do you filter your mentors in your network? Because obviously, you know, you said they're industry leaders, they are subject experts, and then people tap into them via your network, the startup CEOs and the founders who are there. Are you picky about the people who enter the network? Like, what is the quality control like?
So for the quality control, I mean, for the most senior subject matter experts, they're either academics or ex-corporate C-suites. So for them, their pedigree speaks for themselves. Mm. But besides that, we also focus on Series A, Series B, local founders of you know, startups like Droppy, for example, Lanise or Francesca from GoGet, or Joel from Fave, for example. These are very established young Malaysian CEOs.
Yep.
But we do work on an opt-in method. So if a startup is interested to speak to a particular mentor, they can then let us know, and we will then check in with the mentor if they're interested to meet. So it's more like a matching.
Yeah. It's more like a handshake. You're the middleman kind of thing.
Yeah, we're the middleman. Kind of.
You know, there are a lot of co-working spaces in Klang Valley. A lot of them have been popping up of late, within the last maybe 5 years. They've become very popular, especially for the startup scene. You know, some of them are small. The others, they take up like entire floors in buildings and stuff. So it's a very competitive landscape for co-working spaces. How does Foundit tackle that? Like how do you plan to stand out from the others in the crowd?
I personally think the market is humongous, right? I mean, if you think about it, co-working spaces allow occupiers to avoid large upfront capital expenses and committing to longer leases, which is typically associated with a conventional landlord. Mm-hmm. And the reason is four-pronged, right? Cash flow optimization, ease of access, you know, cost efficiencies. And so for me, I don't see a problem with the co-working space model. But I think where the problem actually lies is that A lot of co-working spaces are not operating with discipline, with management discipline. And if you look at it, sometimes there's always a price war where, you know, prices are just extremely low to the point where your revenue is not able to cover your basic expenses and you're just burning money. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, when WeWork was really big in the game, they were offering really crazy deals, like, you know, free 4 months. And then the next 4 months would be 50% off. So that actually spoiled the market. So we started creating a very price-sensitive market. And that was actually started seeing the beginning of the downfall of a lot of the co-working spaces. And most of them are actually fundraising right now. And if you're fundraising, it's probably a reason to it.
Yeah.
So the way we intend to tackle this challenge is by focusing on the value play. So in fact, some of our members, for example, Utopia is an education tech platform. They started with two hot desks. They upgraded to two dedicated desks. And now they're in a six-pack steam room. We just hosted the launch of their product very recently. We actually sponsored a venue for them. That's our way of giving back and supporting and watching them grow. But at the same time, we've seen some teams had to scale down from a two-pack steam room to get a dedicated desk, and we allowed them to scale down as well. You know, so I think we really focus on the value, and we really make them feel like, you know what, your business success is our success, and we'll help you through the good times and the bad times.
Right. We are going to take a quick break, but stick around because we'll have more from Ganesh and Found 8 when we come back. BFM 89.9.
Busy following Money Trail. BFM 89.9.
And we're back on Open for Business. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and joining me on today's show is Ganesh Mahendranathan. He is the country manager for Found 8. And, you know, we were, before the break, we were just talking about carving out a niche for this co-working space in an already crowded marketplace. Do you think that loyalty plays a part when it comes to, you know, entrepreneurs and co-working spaces? Because, you know, the whole point of co-working spaces and remote working is to not work from a single place all the time, for it not to become like your regular office. But do you try to lock in customers to keep them coming back? Like, do you try to enable loyalty in a co-working space?
So that's a very good question. And you will have loyalty if you don't go down the telco model. So that is something we've seen some of our competitors doing, where, you know, you sign up and all of a sudden you sign up at a higher price, and then 2 weeks later they're offering an amazing promotion to the next person that's coming in. So,
and you feel played out.
And yeah, if I was a member, I would feel played out. So, which is why we're very, very careful. We're very, you know, careful about our pricing and the type of promotions we offer. So for us, we actually value the community comes first, and that is what is driving retention. So it's from a simple bring your own lunch event, we're getting about 60% engagement, where members are really attending and participating because they see value in the community. From our WhatsApp group, where if a Wi-Fi is going down, everyone's troubleshooting to figure out how to solve it. So when people feel like they're part of something bigger, where people feel like the people around them are all growing and achieving something, it motivates them to want to do the same thing. And I feel like that driving force is going to create a strong retention, which is why we are doubling down on the value portion, on member success, because we feel like that will drive the rest.
Yeah. Consistency in the in the community. Okay, okay. About your location. So you are at KL Central, which is kind of, which is interesting. It's an interesting choice because normally co-working spaces would be in the suburban bubbles outside of the main city area, right? So you would have them in your Damansara or your Tamantuns or Banda Utamas. Because it's quieter, you know, life is slightly slower. But why choose KL Central? Like, why is KL Central maybe optimum for you guys?
So I think to address your question, I think it depends on the positioning of the companies. For example, Work, they only focus on suburban areas, catering to the tech community, who the early stage tech community. So these are folks that will definitely run into cash flow issues. So having an office out of town means your average rent, monthly rent is lower, which means you can offer cheaper monthly rent prices. So that's their driving factor. But for us, I think part of our key component is accessibility. We have a huge network in Singapore. We have five spaces in Singapore. And we're also a landing pad for some of these companies looking to scale into Malaysia. So for them, it's just jumping onto a plane, taking the KLI Express, and walking straight to office and setting up the meetings dead center in KL Central. In fact, close to 80% of our members are sited the convenience of location, because a lot of them are coming from different parts of KL.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a train makes it just really convenient, you know, and they're still being productive, listening to audiobook on the way. So I think we pride convenience.
Convenience above everything else. Yeah. Okay, okay. How would you, based on what you've seen, how would you describe the local entrepreneurship scene or the local startup scene, like in your own words? What does it look like to you?
I think we have a very vibrant scene. It's become more socially acceptable to actually work at a startup. I think back in my day when I first had my first job, I had an opportunity to either try and work for a company like GroupSmo, which became Groupon, or PwC.
Mm-hmm.
And having very traditional parents, I went down the whole PwC route. And I only discovered startups a bit later, and I wish I'd started sooner. But now you see it's more accepting. But the thing is, there are a lot of young founders that do not have the proper structure in place to execute the discipline of, grinding for 12 hours a day. Some of them think it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But that is changing. I think when you go through the hardship of starting a company, you will realize that. So I think there's a huge potential in Malaysia growing early stage founders. The gap is between a founder to a, from a startup to a scale up. I think that's a big gap. And that's why we've seen more accelerators coming into the fold. People like, you know, Nexia, Lead Ventures, Scale Up Malaysia, all trying to address that gap. So I think as that support actually improves and, you know, people are more accessible to information right now, so I think that gap will be reduced and we can probably see a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem in the country.
You mentioned Singapore just now,
yeah.
You know, and how they are seen. So how does it compare, like us and Singapore, and what are some of the things that, not just that we can learn from them, but, you know, we can learn from each other, I guess?
So I think what we can probably learn from Singapore is, I think the founders there are a little bit more structured, you know. Sometimes some might say too structured. So what we can learn from them is probably a little bit of their structure, and what I think the Singaporeans can learn from Malaysians a little bit of their chaos and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think together it's a very good pairing. But they're definitely ahead in terms of the stages of their startups. They're a little bit more advanced, and but again, it's a very small market for them.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it's a great place for landing pad, but then they want to move out because Singapore can only cater to X addressable market when you can get Southeast Asia 600 million people. And having that cross inter-exchangeable where, you know, our Singapore members can come to KL for 3 days in a month, our local members can go down to Singapore for 3 days in a month, and having that exchange, I think, can drive a lot more interactions and growth.
You know, for Founded itself, what is the biggest difference of operating, because of the dynamic that you mentioned, what is the difference operating in Malaysia and in Singapore? Because it can't be the same, right? It can't be the same sort of operating methods, or is it the same? So I'm just curious.
That's cool. I mean, so we, for majority of the elements in terms of our meeting rhythms, for example, our reporting structures, our SOPs,
mm-hmm.
That is almost the same. I would say probably 80 to 90% the same. There are room for localization, especially on the processes front. As you know, Malaysians sometimes, handling different types of members will be different. Malaysians are a little bit more laid back, so certain areas of SOPs can mm-hmm. be a bit more lax.
A bit more chill.
Yeah, a bit more chill. So I think understanding that makes, as well as the sales process, for example, dealing with customers. You know, in Malaysia, I think sometimes they might just want an introductory chat
mm-hmm.
about nothing, not about business. You know, in Singapore, that might be perceived as, oh, it's a waste of an hour of my time.
Yep.
But here is relationship building.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some of the nuances between the markets.
You also have, Founded has a partnership with Google for Startups. Could you tell us a bit about that partnership?
Cool. Yeah. So for Founded Singapore, yeah, I mean, they're the first Google for Startup partner in the region. And part of that allows our members to have access to more than 50 locations worldwide,
mm-hmm.
And also get access to Google Cloud credits, access to the mentorship network that they have, as well as account management. So there's a lot of benefits. But of course, they do also have a curated process. So a startup needs to be of a certain stage for them to be eligible for those rewards. Yeah.
What kinds of challenges is the KL branch, I think, or the KL outlet facing? Not in terms of business, but just, you know, overall, what kinds of challenges are you facing with Foundate in KL?
So I think one of the challenges, I mean, recent challenges, obviously the coronavirus has taken a dent in event revenue, most especially. People are a bit scared to come in for tours as well. So we have taken on that challenge by providing virtual tours over the phone, live tours, you know, different ways. But besides that, I think the other challenge is people are a bit shocked at our value prop. They are, you know, they can't really comprehend it. They're like, wow, you're really supporting us. You're really connecting us. Really? Mm-hmm. What if you just signed a contract and you don't really follow through? So there's all that doubt because no one else has really done that. And we don't have a huge amount of brand equity in KL. So that's what we're building towards. So how we've managed to sort of overcome that challenge is to sometimes say, hey, why don't you use the space for 2 weeks? You can join some of our member events. We can have a member check-in organized for you. We can just make some connections off the bat. After 2 weeks, you can say, hey, do you want to stay? You can. And if you don't, then it's fine. At least you got a good experience out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically how we try and cope with the challenges.
Give them like a short teaser sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think a good way to sort of cap the interview would be to talk about expansion. Like, you know, what is next for Foundate? Because, you know, are there more outlets coming? Are you setting up in more locations? Yep. What is on the horizon for Foundate?
So actually, you know, in our fundraising, at the moment, we're doing fundraising. We've got a signed term sheet with Australia, so that's going to be our next location.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at India, Indonesia, Thailand, and Philippines. But we don't intend to scale very quickly. It's going to be very opportunistic. We're going to find trusted local partners that really fit our culture and DNA. And we don't believe in scaling too rapidly. We're going to be very prudent in the manner of which we scale.
Okay. Yeah. Ganesh, thanks for doing this.
Thanks. Cheers, Arvind.
Right, that was Ganesh Mahendranathan, country manager of Foundate, located at KL Central. This interview is also available via podcast on the BFM website, which is bfm.my. You can also get it off the BFM app, which you can download for free on the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Alternatively, we are on Spotify. Check us out in their podcast section. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.